You have a 15-minute program. You got 13 minutes to preach. And you better be through.
Yeah.
Because they're going to cut you off. So you might as well just learn that. So I learned that because I preached on radio for many years. And I can stop whenever I need to stop. But I wanted to finish up that lesson this morning before I got through. And I went, I think, 5 minutes over or so. Okay. And nobody's complained yet. And if you have, keep it to yourself. Okay? I really don't want to hear it.
Amen.
Some things are better left unsaid.
Amen.
All right. I'm glad to be here. I've really been looking forward to this myself and everything. Usually I'm up a little bit earlier than this. But because of several things that's happening, and we are getting ready to reinstitute a Temple Baptist University. It's still running, but it's on correspondence. But we are setting it up for a four-year college at night, there at my son-in-law's. And we're getting it up, and I want 4 years of curriculum. Hopefully, I'll get the 4 years of curriculum out before I die. And we've got several preachers that's helping us and things of sort. And we're doing this to where we can put it on sticks, and your pastor can get these sticks. His church can buy the curriculum. They can use it right here. They can train their own preachers. They can do it right here. Well, they'll be right here with them and working. Amen. I woke up one time and realized I had 23 young people. Oh, thank you, son. Appreciate that. 23 young people off in Bible colleges, and that took about 23 of my best workers.
Yeah.
So I said, why should I work for somebody else's church? Huh?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate that. The water, I was going to ask for some, but I forgot about it, but I thought about it later. And, so take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke chapter 23. And we'll be reading verse number 33 through verse number 49. The whole passage is verse 27 through 49. I reckon you might as well read the whole thing. And it wouldn't hurt you to stand up along with it. Verse 27 through 49 of Luke chapter 23. Don't worry about children. Children are a blessing. Sometimes you have to discipline. Sometimes you have to take care of them. Amen. I tell folks that the problem with our children is they come from bad stock. Amen. Well, that's what the Bible says. Wherefore, if one man sinned in the world, death upon all men, for all have sinned. Amen.
Right.
Well, my baby son one day, I'll take him to school. He's about 7 years old. And he'd done something. You know, I children do. I said, Jumbo, why do you do that way? He looked at me in them big brown eyes, and he said, well, I reckon because acres don't fall far from the tree. I said, shut up, boy. Bad when you're fed with your own spoon. Amen. I want you to notice here in verse number 27, and I'm going to be preaching this morning on the three crosses of Calvary. You look here in verse 27, it says, There followed him a great company of women, of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps that never gave suck. You know, that's about that way today, isn't it? With them murdering the children like they're murdering.
That's right.
Children, not something. But, and then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things to a green tree, or in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself if he be a Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, and coming and offered him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. I want you to notice that. It was written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. It was written in three basic languages. Greek was the language of commerce. Latin was the language of those that were elite. And Hebrew was the language of the Jews. It was written to all these languages and all these languages that everybody might know that this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation? But we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth and the night until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having thus said, he gave up the ghost. And now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together in that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Father, take the reading of the word of God and apply it to every heart. We know that this is a familiar story. But Paul said that he preached Christ and him crucified. And so here this morning, we are like the Greeks that came to Jesus, or came to Jesus' disciples, and said, Sirs, we would see Jesus. So this morning, we ask that you show us Jesus. Show him in the word pictures that we will be talking with and using today. And I pray this morning that every person might look at him. Those that are saved might look at him as their sovereign God and the one that has saved their soul and is watching over them. Those that are lost, I pray that they might look at him as the sovereign God who is their judge. And yet on the cross of Calvary, he died in their place and says, Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Speak to us now in such a way that Christ might be glorified. For that person that's out of fellowship with God, backslid in their heart, I pray this morning that you will open their hearts and make them understand that that is a serious charge and a serious thing to be out of fellowship with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Three is the number of the Trinity. These three crosses represent all that is evil in man and all that is good in God. The man on the middle cross, because became sin for us, that we could become right in God. He became sin for us so that we might have that fellowship with God. And I want you to notice here on verse number 39, the cross of rejection. Look what he said here. Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. This man here, he is rejecting who Jesus is. if thou be the Christ. He didn't say thou art the Christ, if thou be the Christ.
Amen.
This is what is happening today with people. They're questioning the word of God. They're questioning who Jesus is. And they're going to hell in their sin because they have never recognized who Jesus is.
Amen.
He is the God of heaven. He is the creator. He's the coming Prince of Peace. He is the one that has sent the Comforter unto us. He is God Almighty. He is the one that came and died in the place of ever since.
Amen.
I want you to understand that. This thief did not know his condition. He knew not his condition. He didn't know what condition he was in. Remember whenever you were lost, you that are saved? You remember God had to show you you were lost.
Amen.
God had to show you your condition. Yeah, you went through life until you got saved, trying to be a good person, and not recognizing that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God.
Sorry.
That all of our righteousnesses are as a filthy rag. Not recognizing that what you were doing was not pleasing to God. Didn't make any difference how good you were, how nice you were, how sweet you were. God says that your very righteousness is a filthy rag whenever you're lost. That means that you could do nothing to please God. You could not work for your salvation. You could not give money for your salvation. You could not be nice to people and not help your salvation. It has nothing to do with your salvation because you knew not your condition. He knew not his condemnation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And this is the condemnation that Christ is coming to the world to save sinners who believe. Now listen to me carefully. You need to understand that you're condemned already. That word condemned means that you've already been given a trial. You've already been found in the balances and not right. You have already been sentenced. Death.
Amen.
In hell. But Jesus comes along and pays the price for your sin on the cross of Calvary. And now you can have a pardon. You can have a pardon. There was a man that years ago that I read about that the governor pardoned him and sent to his prison where he was and the cell where he was and brought him a paper that pardoned him. He was pardoned by the governor of that state, and he rejected it and said, I will not have it, tore it out, and said, take it back, the pieces back with you. I don't want a pardon, and went to the gallows and died simply because he rejected it. You're here this morning, and you're not saved. You have continually rejected Christ. You have rejected him as your Savior. You have rejected him as God. You have rejected him as the Christ. The Revised Version says, what the King James Bible says, that no man can call Jesus the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Revised Version says, no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Leaves out the definite article. That definite article says, basically, that definite article says there's no other Jesus. The Jesus. The Jesus. And you need to understand that he's the only one. You're condemned already. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting without Christ. And then he knew not his companion. Isn't that something? He's dying on the cross there, and right by him is Jesus. The one who is going to die for his sin.
Right.
The one who is God incarnate. The one who has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Right.
And you know the problem today is folks don't see that. They think they're doing fine. They're religious. I've dealt with a lot of religious people. They were raised at Baptist churches. They were raised in Pentecostalism. They were raised as a Lutherans. Or they were raised as the Church of England. They were raised as Catholics. They think they're all right because of their religion. Let me just explain something to you very carefully here today. The church cannot save you.
Amen.
The Pope cannot save you. The preacher cannot save you. You need to understand you can't save yourself. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. And you're going to have to turn to him.
Amen. Amen.
This man would not turn to him because of his pride. See, that's what puts most people in hell, pride.
Amen.
They're too prideful. I remember when my wife got saved that night, I got angry. I didn't like what was going on. She made a spectacle of herself. She ran down the aisle, threw herself on the altar, weeping out loud. And I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, if some of these people are going to say something to me, I'm going to slap them and leave, man. I mean, I was offended that she had done that. But thanks be unto God, she didn't care. She just pushed past me and went to the altar and got saved.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God, she started praying for me. Thanks be unto God, she started living her life in front of me for God. You know, I've dealt with a lot of men, her dealt with a lot of women that had husbands that was lost, and she'd say, here's what you do. You love him into heaven. You obey him. You take care of, good care of him. You try to do right. You live for God in front of him. And live for God in such a way that he knows that God's love is shining through you. A lady in one of the churches I pastored, she started doing that, and her husband started getting meaner. And she came to us and said, I don't know what's happened. Said he's getting meaner, and he's getting he's worse off to me than he ever was. It was pretty good to me before I started doing this and started just that. And said, I said, well, he's under conviction. I said, you just have to dig in. You know what she said, sister? She said, it's not worth it. I said, you mean to say it's not worth your husband being saved for you to suffer a little bit? You don't love him very much. And my wife said, if you love your husband like I love my husband, you would die for him. And I stood there, sat there and wept. Recognizing that here was a woman that did not love her husband enough to die for him. My wife came to the point where she got desperate and she said, Lord, if it takes my life, take my life to save my husband. She went to the hospital a few weeks later, had some little so-called minor operation is going to do. That morning, I came by the hospital. I put her in the hospital the night before, and I came by the hospital that morning to see her on the way to work, and she said, going to work, honey, we need the money. She said, it's just a minor operation. 10 o'clock, a preacher shows up at my work. I'll have to die of a heart attack. When he got out of the car, he said, Brother Osteen, don't worry. Don't worry. Mr. Osteen, don't worry. That they haven't touched your wife, but you need to go to the hospital. I hurried over to the hospital, walked down the aisle and the hallway there and got into her room, and she reached over and buzzed, and the nurse said, what can I do for you, Ms. Osteen? She said, my husband here. She said, the doctors will be there in just a few minutes. About 5 minutes later, they walked in. There was a heart doctor from the audience that come in, ran some tests, that looked at all the tests that had been run. She had a serious heart murmur, they said. And said, if she goes under this anesthesia, she stands at 75% chance of not coming out. And said, we're going to treat it with medication. And there, in that room, I tried to bargain with God. I said, God, if you'll let her live, I'll go to church. I didn't tell her that. But she got out of the hospital and lived, and I went to church. I went that one Sunday. I didn't say I was going to go all the time. I did what I said I was going to do. But God kept dealing with me. Kept dealing with me, and she kept just loving me and caring for me and watching over me and petting me. One day God showed me I was lost. Scared me, just like it scared you. It's like it startled you whenever you are hung out over hell by God. You don't care about your pride. I went and got drunk because I couldn't stand what I saw. I came back home and passed out on the couch, and my wife was wiping my face and saying, with a wet dishcloth, and saying, "It's going to be all right, honey. It's going to be okay. You'll be okay. You'll be fine." And I didn't tell her God was dealing with me. I didn't tell her how hard he was dealing with me. I went to work. I sobered up Sunday. She went to church. I went to work Monday. Come back home, and she said, "Can I have the car? What are you on the car for?" She said, "I'm going to church." And I'm thinking in my mind, this woman is going slap down crazy. She goes to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night visitation. Now she wants to go on Monday night. I said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Have a revival." I got in the shower and I called her and I said, "Go get my pair of dress pants, a dress shirt, find my dress shoes." She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going with you."
Amen.
I went Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And that preacher was preaching. I don't know if any of you have ever knew him. His name was Tommy Stone. He was a preacher, man. I mean, no extra roughneck out of Texas and East Texas, and he was a preacher. But I didn't understand. You see, folks, be patient with people. You can't make them understand. God has to make them understand. I didn't go that night. It was Friday night because I had an appointment. I came home from church and I said, "Honey, them men need to come see me, them preachers need to come in tomorrow." Saturday, they came. She went to the back of the room, a little trailer there. I sat down on my couch and Brother Stone took the Bible and gave me a little Bible. And he started going through the Word of God. See, I'd read the Bible through twice before I was saved. New Testament through probably 25 times. And the book of Revelation probably 100 times. And I didn't understand anything spiritual because the natural man receiveth not the things of God.
Amen.
It takes the Holy Ghost to begin to speak. That's why some of you are sitting here, you may be going to hell because you made a little profession or you think you're all right. But let me just tell you something. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you do not know that you are lost, you will reject him and go to hell.
Amen.
And when they read Romans 5:8, it clicked. And suddenly the light came on. Papa, initially, the light came on. That was the first time in my life that I understood. He died for me personally. And I'm sitting on my couch and I get saved. I didn't pray any prayer. I didn't say anything. I just did business in my heart with God. And I believed and trusted. And you know what? He saved me.
Amen.
And the rest of the story goes on that I've served him all these years. And my darling wife served right along with me. You know, your problem is you give up on people too quick sometimes. 5 years this woman prayed for me. 5 years she suffered. 5 years she waited on God. But she was determined. After I was saved, she had 3 or 4 major operations. The doctors had never found another heart in my life. She said, "When God fixed her husband's heart, he fixed her heart."
Amen.
Amen.
I know one thing he fixed. He fixed our life, and he fixed our family. I want to ask you a question here this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. It's as far as God wants me to go this morning. I want you to listen to me carefully. How many of you slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I know that if I die at this moment, I'd go to heaven. I'm saved, and I know it." Lift your hand up high, let me see. Real high, real high, real high. Hold it right there. I'm going to look. I'm looking to see. Put your hands down. How many slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. God has dealt with me, and I'm not saved. Would you please pray for me?" You couldn't raise your hand, she was saying. Slip your hand up, let me see. You know, God's interested in you. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." And some of you that didn't raise your hand, as you were saying, I assume that you're lost and going to hell. But God has to show you. But he may have already showed you that you're running away. How many of you here this morning slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I am not serving God like I should. Would you please pray for me? Would you please pray for me?" Slip your hand up high. Come on. All over the house. All over the house. All over the house. All over the house. Put your hands down. How many of you here this morning slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not as concerned about souls as I was when I first got saved. And I want you to pray for me that my heart will be warmed up." I'm going to slip your hand up there. God will give me a revival. Give me a revival. Slip your hand up. Come on. Amen. If you had us come, please. Get ready to play. Let's stand to our feet, every head still bowed, every eye still closed. Father, we thank you for sweet liberty to preach the word of God. Don't let the word of God fall on the ground.